Cord, and I'd like to introduce the case writer for tonight. That's Barbara Bowler. Barbara serves as the senior director of the program on corporate compliance and ethics at Fordham University School of Law in New York City. She teaches at Fordham Law School and Suffolk University Law School. Barbara formerly served as director of programming and education at Compliance Week magazine. She's held compliance roles at Fidelity and JP Morgan. Barbara holds an BA from Suffolk University, JD from Suffolk University Law School, and an LLM in taxation from Boston University School. Thank you very much, Barbara. And now we're going to go around the groups and we will start with Ina, John, Juliet, Robert, and Susan. Who's your spokesperson?
I am the spokesperson for the
Okay.
group. So this being my first one, I was nominated. It's a learning experience. It's all good. So thank you, Barbara, for your time and sharing the case with us. Our group was very curious in coming to the meeting with the CEO to ask some questions. And the first question we had was to understand about the vision and strategy for why the Francesca acquisition was made and what the company was hoping to achieve from that, because our group recognized that the legacy paper company is in a very different manufacturing heavy type of operation versus Francesca being more of a startup in the digital space. So we weren't sure where the synergies exactly were going to come from. We could see some shared services, but beyond that, we were seeing perhaps two different customer spaces and wanted to understand the thought process around that. And then secondly, after there's some time of going through this change management process over the 6 months, our group was curious about what the CEO and C-suite had learned during the integration process and during some of these change management efforts that were made. What did they learn in terms of what worked, what didn't work? And then the third area was just around how can the board then support and move forward just based on the learnings and getting a better understanding of the broader strategy for the acquisition.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to group number two. That's Barbara, Kathy, Elaine, and Suzanne.
So this was also my first session. So like Susan, I was also told that I would be the spokesperson. Thank you, Kathy and Elaine. A few things that we raised. One was, just understanding from leadership, what does this company look like in 1 year and 3 years, to echo some of the prior group's points. We also talked about understanding more about the board makeup, about the board chair. How is the board going to engage as a group? Is it right for Anna to be the one reaching out to the CEO? Kind of how is that going to work? And learning more about the leadership. Did the CEO come on board, recently and driving the acquisition, or just how are all these personalities working together? And do they have the right skill set and competence to do the work? Because it seemed a little bit chaotic in the case study about how management was managing this. We also talked a little bit about the board makeup, kind of that would probably be something relooking at again. Yeah, I think those were the key items. Kathy and Elaine, anything else you wanted to add?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Suzanne. And the last group is Craig, Jay Lee, Marianne, and Sandra.
Hi, Sandy here. I'm the spokesperson. And Craig couldn't be on any longer, but Craig and Gia and Marianne, we had a pretty good discussion. We said our first question for the CEO would be, how does he see this integration? How does he feel like this integration is going so far, based on the quote unquote targeted plan that the board supported? Adams comes from a tech expertise point of view. She said, you know, and she said, you know, she doesn't have a lot of experience with heavy operations, but you know, from a tech point of view, I think she could say to the CEO, well, some things with my expertise I can help you with. One, you know, we're having issues with some of our metrics and leading indicators. Well, let me help you digitize this so we can get a handle on this. The other is she probably has experience with dealing with integration of legacy systems versus newer digital systems. You know, he talked about wanting to keep a dual track strategy, but I think she could talk to what that integration is really like and what it's going to take. The other is we talked about the issue of culture. You've got two different cultures. There was a lot of discussion about hybrid, you know, hybrid work, etc. With complicated high-level projects like this, it's probably very important that the two cultures come together and be doing some face-to-face. So maybe your senior leadership team, your senior director, your senior management need to spend a little more time face-to-face working on the issues. And the other was the role of the other board members and the chair of the board. Adam comes from a tech space, but you have other board members, you have the chair. What is their role? And should the chair be having some one-on-one discussions with board members about how they see things going and what suggestions they would offer for how to integrate and move this forward? So, Gia, Marianne, did I miss anything?
Very nice summary, Sandy.
Good. So now
Thanks.
let's turn to Barbara. Could you please react to the recommendations and ideas that you heard expressed?
Yeah, so thank you. I want to thank you so much, Larry, for inviting me. Larry gave me my very first education job, my very first teaching role, and I will forever be indebted to him for that. So thank you so much. I really appreciate everyone's comments. Not a board member, have never been. I was on a nonprofit board for a bit, but not for a very long time. I come to most questions as a kind of career compliance officer. And so what this is a fictional case, but what drove me, I guess, to think about change management is something that we do on campus every year. So mine is a master's program. So I administer a master's program in corporate compliance at the law school. It's largely online, but we do require students to come to campus for 2 days for an event every summer. We use the second day for a change management simulation. We actually use a third party called Experience Point. And they are the whole day, they're in groups working on, they kind of interview online through the game, this kind of cast of characters that are part of this company. They're the marketing head, the research and development head, the CEO, folks from accounting, folks from across the company. But I mentioned to my group, they don't interview anyone from the board, and they don't interview anyone from legal or compliance, which I think is kind of an interesting oversight from the position of the company. But For my students, why I think it's important that they spend this day of really what's essentially a compliance conference thinking about change management is because they really have a challenging time seeing where they fit. When you graduate from law school, and I know there are lots of lawyers in the Zoom room, you sort of think, well, I'm the lawyer. And now, when I graduate, when I'm giving advice, they're going to listen to me and they're going to do what I say. And those of you who went to law school who have maybe left with that feeling know from the very first meeting that that's just not how the world works. You tell them it's law and that's why they should do it. But instead, it's mostly about winning the hearts and minds of your constituents. And so, the reason that I, it was a very long way of saying, the reason that I came to this case study is because I wanted to think about what the role of the board was in this changing the hearts and minds. Or does compliance have to change the hearts and minds of the board? And so, we have a board member who is, actually has organizational or sort of change management experience. So, I thought all of the advice was very good. We really do kind of need to take a step and figure out what it is that's going on here. What are the roles of the folks, in the fact pattern? Do they even know what their role is supposed to be? The CEO, seems a little confused. It almost seems like we're panicked because our business model is changing. And so we're going to take the lifeline of this company that looks interesting because there's digitization, in the title. And then, but not really thinking about whether or not it makes sense for what they're doing. So I appreciated all of the comments. But for me, it's often just it's that sort of the outcome of this the simulation that we run every year. So, Robert.
Thank you, Barbara. Interesting case. I teach strategy, and the one of the things that we're, I think sometimes through acquisitions, I've been through many changes of control. Larry has helped me on more than one occasion as a result of involuntary separations through some of that work. I think that the fundamental assumption sometimes we make is that everybody's going to stay and they're going to want to play. And my experience is one of two things happens. If you're invited to stay, you may stay if you're acquired as opposed to the acquirer, because the acquirer always sets the tune. But and or the other might be, okay, we're overweight in this, or we don't want this function, therefore we're going to eliminate jobs. And sometimes it's small, sometimes it's larger. When you're teaching your students, if you will, are you t and you're talking about managing change and you're talking about integrations, how does the concept, if you will, or the reality of talent turnover, how does that get woven into what you're teaching so that there are some watch signs for folks so that they don't go too far and force the best people out of both companies, and then you're left with a shell of a business? How do you approach that, if you will?
So we have a cheat because we use a game that has there is a way to win the game, so you kind of have to follow the experience points steps for change management. So we tee it up with that. Although even though students have the steps for change management, they still find the actual negotiation very challenging. Kind of the way it works, and if anyone offline is interested, I'm happy to show it to you if you think it may be helpful in your own companies. But they get this, sort of map of all of the people that work in the firm. Of course, not the lawyers, not the compliance people, and not the members of the board. And they interview them, so they have little video snippets of what their motivations are. And then they get these challenge cards. They get the steps that they may take. Things like, I don't know, the CEO makes a morale boosting, speech. And if they choose that step kind of real time, of course, if they choose that step first, their money goes down, their time goes down, and everything pretty much sinks. But they need to follow the pathway in order to kind of, get to make the decisions in order to make the changes in a way that's meaningful for the company. So you kind of have to play the game. And it's funny because when we do this, we have, six or eight student groups working at it at the same time. And there's a horse race function. So we're in one room actually watching them in real time make the decision and then sometimes back out of the decision or try to back out of the decision. And it's actually really fascinating. But most of this game is negotiating the steps individually in those rooms. And there are those kinds of, ch challenges. So one of the things is, fire the research and development guy, whose name is Scott Bell. So actually, on Etsy, there are Fire Scott Bell t-shirts. So I feel like it's taken off a little bit, but it's but it is a it is an it's a it's very, I guess, everyone leaves it feeling excited. It's fun, but a little bit humble. Are humbled because they realize that it's not just so easy as going in and telling them these are the things that you need to do, and everyone's just going to do them. I've tried to, I've run it with our LLM students, and so those are already lawyers, to similar results. I would love to run it with the JDs, and so that's my next group, and we've showed it to the dean who's interested in doing that too, just because a little dose of humility on your way out of law school would not necessarily be a bad thing.
Anyone else have any questions or comments for Barbara? Don't see any hands raised. Please raise your hands. Let me turn it around. This audience is experienced board people. What's been your experience with compliance officers, pro and con? Anyone want to talk about their experience with compliance people?
Sure, I will.
Yeah, of course, John would. Yeah,
I would.
John's a lawyer. Well,
But I'll defer to anyone else.
go. I'm
No,
sorry.
I think that the biggest pull I get, generally I chair audit committees when I sit on a board. So I'm deeply involved in compliance in all aspects. And I would say that the biggest pull that I see is compliance. Compliance is kind of like the wedge that works its way through the organization, between marketing and sales and tech and the senior leadership team and inventory processing and shipping and regulatory. I mean, they're sticking their heads in everywhere. And the issue that always is that we try to confront is the pushback. All right, and within compliance, and not having compliance not hamstring each of the areas that they go look at. They want to be, they're basically policemen in the organization, but you can't really shut people down. All right, and a lot of my larger boards that I serve on, especially in healthcare, it's an issue. All right, is an issue is reining in what happens in the sales and marketing. Of products to patients and to healthcare institutions. It's dangerous. There are criminal and civil issues that arise on how you do that, and compliance needs to push back at some time. So I find it's that tug of war that occurs when compliance is out there doing the job, and it spills over into the risk characteristics that exist. How far do we let them go? How far do we pull them back? How much risk tolerance do we have in order to behave this way? Again, that's generally a lot of the of what I see happening out in the compliance world in my larger clients.
And other perspectives on your experience with compliance people.
Can add mine as a career compliance professional. And a board member. I'd say compliance has two functions. One is a coach, to really be advising management day to day on how to get to the right, get to the business objectives in the right way that serves the values of the organization and drives the business forward. So compliance needs to have influence, be practical, be knowledgeable, relationship driven. The second role of compliance is to be a truth teller. So from a board perspective, compliance is a second line defense, not a first line defense, and needs to be able to share updates about the internal control environment and where things are. But the expectation is, absent egregious behavior by management, there's a lot of, coaching behind the scenes that's happening between compliance and management, and they're working seamlessly together to drive the business strategy.
I love the idea of
Yeah.
compliance as the truth teller. That's a great description.
It's why we're so popular.
I always feel bad for the compliance people because they're out there with their black hat. But then there's also, in my experience, there's compliance, which is like rigid paper compliance, but then there's also what's actually happening, and that's the real compliance, what is really going on. And again, that's a way where you really can't just have people comply on paper. You've really got to win the hearts of the people you're working with and make it possible for them to win so that the company can do what they do safely and not have big legal cases. It's really to protect everyone inside the company. So,
Yes, I like this idea of compliance and the business functions working together so that compliance doesn't become known as the business prevention department, but to understand like where the limits are and why there are certain regulations in place and what this is trying to do and what can the business do? So I think the more forward-thinking compliance people talk about, okay, here's the limitations and here's what you can do, as opposed to just saying no, because that's a popular word.
this is the a hard part, or for me, it was always a hard part. We lack positional authority to make people do the thing. Unless the thing is clearly illegal, then you have all the authority that you want. But there's very little that's clearly illegal. Usually it's very gray. And you if you're not deciding someone's pay and they don't have to report to you, you're really just advising and guiding, which for various reasons is where you want to be, because in financial services you have the possibility of authority or rather culpability. So it's all about trust and trying to get people to do what you want them to do or lead them in a direction, but then also trust, but then if letting them know what the risks are, ultimately they're on the hook for the risk. As long as it's not illegal, then all bets are off.
Anybody else have any perspectives about compliance people and their relationship with board members? No, thank you. Let's thank you very much, Barbara. Let's use the remaining time to, is there anyone who could use anyone's help from anyone in this room? Any of you facing any challenges, issues, want to get second opinions from anyone in this room? There's a lot of collective wisdom here. Does anybody have anything? Please raise your hands. No. John, did you raise your hand? No, I just saw your picture flashing.
No, I didn't know what that was. It was moving around, but
Okay. Fine. And why don't we adjourn for dinner and hope you have a wonderful May, and we'll see you at the end of May for our next seat at the table presentation.
Thank you,
Take
Larry.
care. Thanks,
Thank
everybody.
you, Larry.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Barbara.
Larry.
Thanks a
Hey,
lot. Thank you,
Barbara.
Larry
Good
and
afternoon.
Marianne
Thank
and
you.
Barbara.
Bye-bye. Take
Thank
care.
you.
Bye.
Bye.